All righty, y'all. We're going to start rolling off with our post-race presser availabilities. We are now joined by the winning crew chief of the number 12 car, Jonathan Hassler, as well as team president of Team Penske, Michael Nelson. Jonathan, I'll start with you. Obviously, a crucial call to keep the keep Ryan out there after brushing up into the wall late in the race. Just ultimately, what went into that decision, and what was the logic, kind of reasoning, keeping Ryan out there to fight for the win?
Yeah, we were able to get some pictures really quick, and see that the damage wasn't too bad. Obviously, we saw that there was a little bit. Ryan felt like his steering wheel was rather straight, so we didn't feel like we had any major toe issues. And really, we looked at it, and there were 30 cars on the lead at that point, and not a lot of laps left. So, our chance to win was to stay out and take a little bit of a risk, and fortunately, it worked out for us tonight.
And Michael, for you, this is Team Penske. With this win, they are now tied for second most all time at drafting style wins, as well as tied for the most in the next gen era. From a team president perspective, what kind of goes into honing in on this style of racing and the value that you put into coming into races like tonight?
Well, that's cool. I hadn't heard that, and it really takes a lot of teamwork. We got a chance to put that on this display tonight, especially earlier in the race, and it takes everybody to bring that together. And so congrats to everybody at Team Penske for achieving that. It's also a big night for us as well. It's 750th Cup win for Ford, so man, what an honor to be able to do that with Ford and bring that home tonight. And so a great night on many accounts.
Yes, sir. All right, well, we'll give questions. We'll go to Matt here, then we'll go to John next.
Matt Weaver, Motorsport.com. Two for Jonathan. I can't imagine the answer is yes, you planned for everything that happened because there was rain and transitioning weather. But was the race that it turned into by the end of the night, is that kind of in line with your projections? Because this track, the surface has aged a lot and it's kind of gotten away from being a pure speedway race. Is this what you prepared for?
Yeah, I think the one thing, we knew that we'd have some weather this week, probably some delays. I think the track probably cooled down and had maybe even a little bit more grip than what I was anticipating, which definitely, I think worked in our favor. I think, early in the race, you could see that we took off really well, but, some other cars towards the end of, longer runs would start to close on us a little bit. But as far as how the race turned out and when the cautions fell and the number of cautions we had and not having green flag stops, I think that was definitely kind of what we expected and what we prepared for and certainly, worked out for us tonight.
And then the last two restarts, you guys were kind of deliberating and kind of, not arguing, but internally debating what to do on the choose. How much do you guys really even control in a race like this beyond just having a good car?
Yeah, I think, a lot of people look at this kind of racing and say that it's, luck or, fortune or whatnot, or the speed in your car. But, what they don't realize is that the drivers and spotters put a lot of time and effort into, all these small details of what to choose, what lane to choose, when to choose it. What runs look like, how to block runs. There's a lot of things that go into it for sure. But I give our guys a lot of credit, top to bottom for being prepared with every last detail.
Go ahead, John.
John Newby, Fan Buzz, right here. Following up on Matt's first question, talking to a couple drivers after the race, they said the first stage was like an old 550 horsepower package race. Second and third stage were more kind of Gen 7 Atlanta. How did you guys kind of keep on top of those changes, and did anything that catch you for a loop?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think the track probably gripped up maybe a little bit more than what I anticipated, and that definitely, like you said, brought the field closer together there, the second and third stages. But we really didn't change our approach to the race. We were fortunate that we were able to have a fast car on Saturday and qualify up front, have a good pit stall. Really control that first run of the race where, there's really no pit stop required at the end of the first stage. And then, we were still just good enough even with everybody kind of behind us to continue to for the most part, control the race. We'd, you know, I've said this a lot about Ryan at these races. I think he's really good at, you know, blocking when he can block, but there are times that, that you just don't have enough time to make the block. And you can see that, you know, there were laps we'd fall to second, third, fourth, but he'd, you know, take his medicine, I think is a term he uses from time to time, take his medicine and then just make some more moves to get back to the front.
And then just moving forward with the way that this track just continues to evolve with all the different weather changes and everything, what do you kind of expect to happen and then, you know, heading into next season towards whenever the first race here comes back?
Yeah, I think, you know, our experience with Atlanta has really just been that there's kind of, it's really kind of like two different racetracks. You know, the spring race has a lot of grip and it's more like just kind of your Daytona Talladega style speedway racing where everybody's kind of packed up. And then you definitely have opportunities in this race in the summer for, you know, like you saw on the first stage, for it to really spread out. But yeah, as we run into the night, that definitely kind of goes away. So I don't think it's going to continue to change a whole lot. It's been relatively steady, so I think we'll see something similar next year.
Go to PRN in the back, then we'll go to Tim front and center here.
Doug Turnbull for PRN and 11 Live, and thanks for talking to us on the pit box there very late in the race. I noticed that, of course, the Penske cars are just dialed in at the start, and you all, the 12, stayed very much dialed in. On the flip side, the other Fords, particularly two of the RFK cars and all the front row, seemed out to lunch to where they're having extended pit stops, getting lapped, things like that. With the talk about the collaboration and manufacturers and it seeming to be really tight with Toyota and maybe different in the Chevy and Ford camps, is that a result of that, or is it just two different thoughts of how to approach a race that had a lot of unknowns?
Yeah, I think, you know, we definitely don't have a lot of these kind of speedway races, and I think that gives, you know, a lot of opportunity for your teams to improve or get worse, really, as, like I said, you have kind of long spells between these kinds of races, and yeah, it looked like some of those other teams definitely didn't hit it, and you know, I that's pretty much all I can say for that one.
Come to Tim up here at the front.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Today. Congrats on the win, Jonathan. I know on any given week I could say Ryan can win Radio Sweetheart, but how hard is it to calm him down when he starts to lose his mind a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's something that, honestly, Ryan's got a lot better with. And I think, really, honestly, as long as I've been with him, that hasn't been anything that we've struggled with. He, you know, maybe from time to time he'll kind of have to vent a little bit, but he's pretty quick to get refocused. I think, you know, if you look at Sonoma a couple weeks ago and the issues that we had, he, you know, went from, you know, I think 15 laps to go, questioning if he could finish the race to you know, run some of the faster lap times at the end of the race and passing cars. So he's definitely, you know, in my mind, the best in the garage, and I'm proud to have the opportunity to work with him.
And big picture now, after this win, you guys have closed the gap to 65 on the regular season points chase. Just do you think it's a possibility you guys can cut that down? Did you think it was even a possibility going into this weekend that it still could have been a possibility for you to chase it?
You know, I think going into the year, we definitely you know, thought it was a possibility. We've been relatively consistent. We've seen the you know, strong runs from the 11 and the 45, and those guys build, you know, big gaps. But I wouldn't say it's necessarily a focus of ours either. You know, we just try to do the best we can each and every week and let everything else kind of work itself out. And, you know, I mentioned Ryan at Sonoma after that tough day, and I kind of went home. You know, we both stayed out in Sonoma on Sunday night, and we got in the rental car, and the first thing he said was, you know, hey, we're still in this. You know, we're only 100 out. And so he's definitely, you know, full focus, and I think we got a lot of good tracks coming up for us.
Let's get a microphone over to Michael here in the back right here.
Michael Massey, French Stretch. Jonathan, where would you rank this car tonight in terms of, like, the best cars you guys have ever put underneath Blaney? Like, is there one that stands out more?
Yeah, I mean, this is certainly, in the moment, definitely the best one that I can recall. I definitely don't remember, you know, any kind of sweep like this. So certainly, statistically, probably the best car we've had and the best night we've had as a team.
All right. Do we have any remaining questions for either Jonathan or Michael tonight? All righty, gentlemen. Well, thank you for coming in, and congrats on the win.
Thank you.